Hebrews 11 is found on page 1195. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he dies, he still speaks. And here's our text. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And that's as far as reading in Hebrews 11. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this verse together, and we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, can you escape death? Is it possible for fallen men to escape the consequences of sin? People have been throughout the years and generations trying to come up with ways to escape death, to escape the punishment that corresponds to our rebellion against God. Just two examples. You have the Spanish explorer De Leon, came to the New World in 1513, hoping to find the Fountain of Youth. A little bit more recently, James Bedford in 1967 had his body cryogenically frozen, hoping to overcome death. But are there actual means? Is there some mechanism by which we might avoid death? Is there some fountain of youth or some potion that we can have in order to avoid the consequences of aging? If you watch the ads on television, you will find all sorts of serums and treatments that can reverse the signs of aging to reduce these wrinkles and crow's feet and smile lines. But these man-made sources cannot ultimately stop aging. It cannot postpone death forever. However, there are two Old Testament examples in which men did, in fact, not see death. As you will remember, Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, and in our text we find Enoch walked with God and was no more. Now, why was it that Enoch did not have to see death? What was unique about Enoch that the end of his life would be so special and so set apart? What are we to learn from the life of Enoch? Well, we're going to be looking at this theme. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are promised eternal life, even as Enoch was spared from death. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are promised eternal life, even as Enoch was spared from seeing death. And our first point, then, we look at the commendation that was given to Enoch in our text. Verse 5, Hebrews 11, verse 5, Enoch was commended as pleasing to the Lord, or pleasing God. But how exactly did Enoch please God? Was it something that he performed, some great action that he had attained or achieved? Well, as you look at verse 6, the next verse, you find that without faith it is impossible to please God. So if Enoch pleased God, the writer of Hebrews said, well, how do you please God? You please God by faith. So we could put these verses together and put it this way. By faith, Enoch pleased God. Enoch had a faith. We read earlier, last week, from Old Testament minor prophet, the righteous shall live by faith. So by faith, Enoch walked with God. Enoch believed in the Lord. He trusted in the coming Messiah. Enoch believed in the word of the Lord. And although Enoch was the seventh generation, the seventh son after Adam, Enoch knew the truth, believed the truth, embraced the truth. He was a man of faith. Genesis 5 puts it this way. Enoch walked with God. He walked with the Lord. His life was pleasing to the Lord. Enoch did not live by what he saw with his fleshly, earthly eyes. Enoch saw the truth with the eyes of faith. He did not base his life based on the things that were around him, the current conditions. He was commended as a man who believed in the Lord and in his promises. Enoch was a special, he was a unique man. And he was also a prophet. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jude, the end of the New Testament. Book of Jude. I'm going to be reading from Jude 14. Jude 1:14. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So Enoch is not only a man of God who walked with the Lord, who lived by faith, he was also a prophet. He was given the vision to see events that would take place millennia after his life. He was given a special revelation, able to catch a glimpse of one event in particular. The return of Jesus Christ on the clouds of glory to execute judgment and vengeance on those who live wickedly. God revealed the future in a vision to Enoch of where the seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent when Christ would come in all his glory with his angels and trample the enemies under feet. Enoch was a man of God living the seventh from Adam, overlapping Adam for about 300 years. Hearing likely from Adam the promises of the serpent-crushing Savior who would come. And although Enoch lived close to the beginning, he was given a vision of the end, a glimpse of the end of the world. Enoch was a unique man, living at the beginning, but his vision encompassing the end. He lived in a time of increasing hostility. As you continue to unfold in Genesis chapter 5, next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the life of Noah. And what happens in the generations leading up to the life of Noah, children, is an increasing rebellion, a rejection of the truth, and a persecution of God's people, where the seed of the serpent was gaining strength and power and oppressing the seed of the woman, the line of the Messiah. So Enoch lives in this time of increasing hostility, and he also lives in a time of certain death. If you read through Genesis chapter 5, and in fact all genealogies, there is one refrain that you read again and again. Children, know what that refrain is? "And he died." Right? Even mighty Methuselah, 969 years, and then he died. Each man in the line of Seth lived so many years, had these children, and then they died. So Enoch lives not only in the context of increasing hostility, he lives in the context of certain death. Because Adam and Eve rebelled against God, the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve, the day you eat of that forbidden fruit, dying, you will surely die. But what about Enoch? What is missing from his genealogy? Every other man mentioned in Genesis 5 lived so many years and then they died, but not Enoch. Enoch is a prophet. He is a man of the Lord. He is a man set apart because he is a man of faith. He pleased God. By faith, he pleased God, was righteous with God. The righteous shall live by faith. For Enoch walked with God, our passage says, and then he was not. For the Lord took him. In an expanded form, we could put it like this. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more on the earth because God took him to himself. Well, after this commendation about being a man of faith, a righteous man, after reading that God was pleased with him, in our second point, we find the reward that is given to him. Again, back in Hebrews 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he might not see death. So Enoch was taken up. The reward that was given to Enoch was unique because suddenly he was walking around on the face of this earth, and the next moment he was not there. He was not found. He vanished. He was taken up to be with the Lord, and in this way he did not see death. Because our bodies, living in the context of the curse in this fallen world, we have every expectation that the life that we live will end with a sigh. Even as Hebrews 9, verse 27 puts it like this. It's a given that every man dies once, and after that death faces judgment. That's Hebrews 9, verse 27. But Enoch did not see his own death. He was declared as righteous, and he was spared from the sting of death. Because death is an enemy, but it is not an all-powerful enemy. The process of aging and dying is hard. It's painful. Or most of you can testify to the fact things that you used to be able to do when you were young are now difficult and painful. You have stiff joints, loss of strength. But Enoch never had that. Enoch lived 365 years. You might be thinking, well, that's an incredibly long time. We have to remember in this context, people were living almost 1,000 years. So Enoch was a baby. 365 years, that was nothing. That was like a 30-year-old, if that. He was walking with God in full strength, full of vigor. And then he was taken up. Literally, our text says he was translated. Some versions put raptured. He was caught up to heaven. Enoch had a change of location. Where one moment he was walking on the earth with his family, the next moment he was not there. He was with his Father in glory. Enoch received what would be a promised foretaste of what God's people would one day be given. But to be clear, our passage does not necessarily say Enoch was given the full and complete blessings of a physical, glorified resurrection. Because John 3, verse 13 puts it like this, no one has ascended into heaven except him who first descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And although Enoch was spared from seeing his death, literally it says he does not see his own death, we also know that the full procurement, the purchase of a future resurrection and final glorification remains for Enoch yet attained. To put it another way, Enoch is still in the intermediate state. If you still have your Bibles open, look at Hebrews 11, verse 13 that says, these all died in faith. These all died, including Enoch. So although Enoch's body is no longer living on earth, he was spared from the process of dying and was immediately brought into heaven. His soul His existence, his person, his being went up to be with the Lord in glory. And his body was not found. So all of the other bodies, all the other people, all the other flesh in Genesis chapter 5 would have been left behind. There would have been a funeral processions, burials that would take place for all of the other men listed in Genesis chapter 5, but not Enoch. His body was not. He simply was no more. Enoch walked with the Lord here below, and then suddenly walked with the Lord up above. As I said before, death is still an enemy. It's the last enemy, and although the enemy has been defeated by Jesus Christ, it is still a constant reminder of our fallen state. We sang earlier the words of Paul, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain," but the fact remains most people, most Christians, do not like to think about the process of dying. We know that at death, our souls are brought immediately to be with the Lord in glory. But we don't like the idea of dying because death is still an enemy. I had a friend when I was a pastor up in Canada. One of the first things he told me when I came to the church there was, "Pastor, I want to die with my boots on." He was a farmer. "I do not want to spend my last years in an old age home wasting away." But the fact is, it's not up to us. Ultimately, we don't get to choose when and how we die. As Christians, we don't fear death, but we don't look forward to the process of dying because it's often painful. It's humbling to see strength and vigor fade into shadow and weakness. How many strong men, how many saints who have gone before, heroes of the faith, grandparents who lived many years faithfully serving, ending their lives dependent on others as they approach the sunset years. It's a reminder that we live in a fallen world and that a sin affects our flesh. But not Enoch. By faith, Enoch walked with God and was no more. He was removed from this world in the prime of life so as not to see death. But that raises a very important question for us. Is that possible for us? If Enoch is a man of faith, if he stands in the halls of faith, going back to our introduction question, is it possible for us to avoid death? Can we have a reasonable expectation for avoiding seeing our own death? Well, that depends on two things. First of all, do you share in the faith of Enoch? Is Enoch your spiritual forefather? If you, like Enoch, live by faith, if you trust in the Savior that Enoch the prophet saw coming on the clouds of glory, then you have every expectation of avoiding death. This is striking. This is stirring. This doesn't compute with what we see, does it? Remember what Jesus said to Mary and Martha? That was in John chapter 11. They had just seen their brother Lazarus die. Jesus says these words in John 11, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Did you catch that? Jesus promises that if you believe in him, you will never die. You will not see your own death. What Jesus is here saying is that if you are joined to Christ by faith, You are already spiritually resurrected to eternal life. Your being, your substance, your person has already been liberated from death. So it is possible. It is possible, and indeed it is promised to God's people that like Enoch, we will not see death. Because we've already been raised in Christ. We've already been resurrected to everlasting life. Already now, in Christ, you live. And you will never die. But what about our bodies? Is it possible for the body, for the physical flesh of a saint, to avoid death? Here again, the answer is yes. Read with me from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 13. That's page 1174. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So if I were to ask you, is it possible for a saint to avoid physical dying? The answer is yes. It depends on the timing of Christ's return. You see, the beauty that we find in the life of Enoch is as a prophet. We read that earlier in Jude 1, verse 14. As a prophet, Enoch foresaw the time when Jesus Christ would return on the clouds of glory to judge the living and the dead. Our reading from 1 Thessalonians 4 unfolds this so that the process is like this. When Jesus Christ returns on the clouds of glory, as Enoch prophesied to, as he foresaw, the first thing that will happen is those who are dead, those who are sleeping in the Lord, will be immediately resurrected, receiving their glorified flesh made like Christ. The second thing that will happen is those who are living, the saints who are at that time living on the earth, will be changed. They will skip death. They will immediately be made like Christ, resurrected, glorified. So if you are still living when Jesus Christ comes back, you will not die in the flesh. But the comfort that Paul gives in 1 Thessalonians 4 is that either way, God's people win. Either way, you are not left behind. Those who have already died, in fact, will precede us. So the saints who have gone before will be changed first, and then those who are left living will be changed, will be reunited, and together we will live with Christ for all eternity. And that, my friends, is why the church prays, "Come, Lord Jesus." That is why we desire, that is why we eagerly long for Christ to come back on the clouds of glory. So that if you have loved ones who have gone before, they will be changed, they'll be raised, they'll be resurrected and glorified, and if we are living, we will see it. And then we'll join them in the air. We desire to see this. And Enoch's skipping death is a promise. It's a foretaste of what we will one day receive. His life stands as a witness testifying to this truth. The Lord will come with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on the earth, to convict the ungodly, to vindicate his people, to raise those who have fallen asleep, and to change those who are still living. May we be found living a life of true faith when our Savior returns. To conclude, the life of Enoch is a powerful witness to true faith and its reward. As the blood of Abel speaks today, so the life of Enoch proclaims this truth. Those who are united to Christ by faith live forever. Our theme puts it like this: Jesus Christ promises eternal life to those who believe as Enoch did. Those who are joined to Christ by faith already now live. Like Enoch, our souls, our person, our being will not see death. We're spared from that. We're rescued from that. May the promise of eternal life and a future resurrection be our hope, our joy, our delight. For whether we are asleep in the body when Jesus Christ comes back, or whether we are still awake in the body waiting for his return, we will all live forever with him. Because our God proves his power over the grave as he spares his son Enoch from death. And remember, children, Enoch was spared from death. God's own son was not. Jesus died on the cross so that Enoch and you and I might be spared from death. May we all trust in him and him alone as we walk by faith. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this stirring reminder of the power of your Son to grant eternal life. And even as Enoch was spared from seeing his own death, we thank you that by Christ, since we are joined to him by faith, we will never die. May the promise of a future physical resurrection and the reality of a present spiritual resurrection fill our hearts with joy as we long to see our Savior's face coming on the clouds of glory, defeating every foe and vindicating his people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.